This is Your Community, a podcast of East Texas Broadcasting. Here's your host, Carrie Eldridge.
Entering most years, an athletic coordinator has to handle so much. Typically, they're a coach of their own sport, so they got to handle that program. But also, they've got to coordinate with coaches in other sports and get all the scheduling done. Ugh, there's so much going on. And then you throw in a pandemic, which means somebody like Brad Baca, the head football coach and athletic coordinator for Pittsburgh, the independent school district, with all he's having to juggle, I'm thinking he might be able to moonlight as a juggler for Cirque du Soleil next time they come rolling into town. This is Your Community. Welcome to the podcast. And Brad Baca, welcome in.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate what you guys do for Texas high school sports and for just athletics in general. So it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Okay, caps. You're going to be wearing multiple caps, as you normally do, given your multiple duties that you handle for the Pittsburgh Independent School District. First cap I want you to put on. Generally speaking, in this age of the C word, COVID, this pandemic going on, typically it's a very challenging thing to get a school year going, extracurricular activities all scheduled. How much more difficult has it been this year?
Well, that is a great question, and to be honest, the answer is it's been much more difficult. From having to find alternate ways to communicate with not only our athletes but our parents and educating the community on what's going on and the new policies and procedures. So even, of course, there's all the health standards that we're having to adopt to and change to, but of course this is a communication part that we just have to get the word out, and that's tremendously difficult as you go through and you find out, you know, kids sometimes aren't the best communicators, so you have to really, really dig deep and find ways to communicate to them. So we've overhauled the way that we do things, from how kids enter and exit the locker room to our fans and how they purchase tickets. Our capacities are different. Everything that we do and everything that we've known, in my 15-year career as a coach has changed just in 6 months. So it's created new ways to practice, new ways to get kids water that we've never thought about before, new ways to meet. You know, as a staff, you have to worry about 6 feet and wearing a mask, and is this room properly ventilated, and did we sanitize it afterwards, and sanitizing footballs. And it's just, our whole entire world has been flipped upside down, just like everybody else. But in the world of sports and trying to be as efficient and fast as possible in everything you do, and because we are limited to a certain amount of hours per week by the UL, it just becomes tremendously difficult. But to our district's credit and to our coaches' credit and our athletes and their parents, they've done a tremendous job adapting and rolling with the punches and just responding to this event that has happened in the appropriate way. And so we always talk about E plus R equals O, and that's the event plus your response equals your outcome. So we can't control the event, this pandemic that's happened, but we can control our response, and in turn, we also help control our outcome.
I like that. I'm writing it down right now, E-R-O. All right. I'm using it in my vernacular going forward, Coach. Thank you. Can
awesome.
I steal that? It's not copyrighted, is it?
It's not. It is okay. Not copyrighted at all.
It's now mine. I claim it. We're talking with Brad Baca, athletic coordinator and head football coach, Pittsburgh Schools. So you talked about having to adapt, and we wouldn't wish a pandemic on our worst enemies. But let's look bright side. Okay, you're a naturally optimistic kind of guy. Are there things that you've had to adapt to and figure out that light bulb goes on and you think to yourself, you know what, once things get back to normal, once we get this pandemic in the rear view mirror, I might actually implement this going forward in even normal years?
You know, it's funny you say that, because the answer is yes. There are multiple things that I'm saying, why haven't we been doing this? You know, one of them is different communication platforms, whether it's Google Classroom, where you have your kids' email addresses and their parents' email addresses and you're able to upload assignments and communicate directly with them. Or it's this new platform called SportsU, which is virtually Facebook for coaches and their teams and their parents. So, you know, where in the past we've mailed letters out, hey, here's our dates, we've done this, you know, we've looked up phone numbers from time to time, but now we are so much better connected that actually the information is coming out and coming back in free flowing more than it's ever been. And so it almost creates more continuity within your program. Another thing is that, you know, because of the limited capacity placed on us by the UIL, 50% in all of our stadiums for all of our athletic events, we had to find a way to limit our capacities and also track how many tickets are being bought. How can we make sure the parents get in? How can we make sure we don't have 5,000 people showing up to Pirate Stadium and we can only let half of that in? How do we do that? And so we were able to launch this new digital platform to offer a unified home for Pirate Athletics, for student-athletes and the Pittsburgh community, you know, during this COVID-19 pandemic. And the entire platform was launched in over 2 weeks' time, from the very first meeting to our first volleyball game, which was August 7th. It was just a little over 2 weeks, 15, 16 days, something like that. We launched it. And it now provides 100% digital ticketing and live streaming of all Pirate sports to help adhere to safety guidelines provided by the UIL state and local health authorities. And so that is something that is just really amazing. There's also an app that goes with it. So you've got the ability to get on your phone, you know, buy your ticket. If you can't come to the game, you also can watch it. And we never would have gotten there, I don't think, as a 4A high school in Texas to be, at, you know, our website now looks like a Division I college website. And you can watch your kid, whether you're on the other side of the globe, you can watch your son or daughter perform, which is so neat and so amazing. And, you know, certainly there's people who are, you know, have underlying health issues that don't want to get out and risk being around somebody that may be, you know, ill or anything like that. And this provides them an opportunity, you know. So, yeah, to your credit, yes, that's a great question. We have several things, stuff that we do, limiting kids in the locker rooms and our sanitization efforts. We have electrostatic sprayers now that go in and literally once a day hit the weight room, hit the locker rooms, hit the training room, that our trainer does. And, you know, so we're just going to be healthier. We're going to eliminate more viruses. I mean, we were already dealing with viruses, just not this particular one. This is going to greatly, greatly limit kids' exposure to getting sick during football season and any season. So, yeah, we're going to take away some great things from this. It's going to be a big positive when we get through this and as we deal with it as we go.
Well, maybe people will say I'm jaded because we're worried about people's health. We're worried about kids being part of activity. But here's why people might think I'm jaded. I'm going to talk money right now. Fundraising, booster clubs, selling of hot dogs and chips and soda. You've got half the possible marketplace now to do that because the stadiums are half full. Bling, jersey sales, fundraisers. People might be worried about gathering for a barbecue. How do you raise the money you're going to need to have awards banquets? If you're going to have awards banquets, how do you raise the money that you make sure all of the programs, not just football, but all of the programs can continue to stay vibrant and healthy because money does that?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one that we are, you know, continuing to look at different avenues to how we're going to do that. We had a fundraiser this year already for our football team, and it was we partnered with a company called 97 Sports, and they made an exact replica mini helmet of what we're going to wear this year on the field. And so our Pittsburgh community people just went wild over those little helmets, and you know, they were about $35 a piece, and you know, they just loved those, and it was a tangible object that they could have, you know, that helped them, you know, represent their Pirate pride at their work, at their home. And so I think stuff like that that's tangible, you know, that whether it's a cup or whether it's something that they can actually grab onto, you know, versus a ticket or something that is a discount card or something, that we went that route, you know, because you know, when you buy something, it's nice to have something that physical that you can touch and hold, and you know, and just the camaraderie of I'm a part of Pirate football. You know, we were trying to think of something like that that could make a connection. And, you know, people are hurting, and there are people in industries that have really been hit hard. You know, others have actually done better, but there are, you know, some people that have done that. So we're being really careful with how we approach the community and how we, do those fundraisers. We certainly don't want to saturate our people here, because they always do so much for us as it is. But it is going to be a creative process going forward with how to approach that. We're still working through that.
And by the way, I want to encourage people that if you are lucky enough to be of the half capacity that's there, and you have supported Pirate football, and you have your mini helmet, this is not hockey. And so when Braden Bolton scores his third touchdown of the game, you're not allowed to throw your helmet onto the field because it's a hat trick.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
You cannot do that.
We do want that to happen, though. We do want those three touchdowns. But yes, just hold it up in the air proudly.
Okay, now people are going to say, "Oh, Gary, you're such a pessimistic." I'm not. I'm just going to bring something up here, and I want an image, all right? And then I want to get your response, as we are now early throes of the start of the school season and about ready to get sports and extracurricular activities going on. If you are a fan of nature shows, and I've watched them a lot, there is a particular video that you can see, and there are a variety of different videos that show, kind of depict the same thing. But you've got these wildebeest, and they are going across a river in Africa, and they know they have to get to the other side where the green grass is going to be. But of course, waiting in the river, crocodiles, and the wildebeest go in there, and they just realize we got to go, and they're going to lose some of them along the way. Well, here we find out now that Dallas Independent School District, they have decided we're going to pause all extracurricular activities. This week, we found out Commerce High School, they're going to have to pause things there because of COVID. Do you feel that it is just going to be a matter of time until some things happen that cause an interruption? Or do you think somehow, some way, you can actually navigate through what is like crocodile-infested waters to get to the other side?
I think that's a great analogy, Kerry, really. I do believe that there are going to be certain schools that are hit, affected worse. I don't think any of us really are going to be unaffected. I think it's just how affected are we. I think the UIL has done a great job providing leadership and really allowing us as much autonomy as they can, and letting these local governments and local school districts make the decisions themselves, instead of hopefully not going back to what we had to do this spring, which was canceling the seasons. Of course, we didn't know much about the virus at that time, and I totally understand their decision at that time. But I think now, with all that we know, all the mitigation that's going on to control the spread, stop the spread, and everything that's in place, I believe we will push on. And the schools that are able to remain healthy, or the healthiest, I should say, will continue to go throughout their season and hopefully do the best they can. You know, I do know we've met as a district, 8-4A football coaches, and we said, you know, what are we going to do if a team has to forfeit due to COVID? And we all kind of sat down and decided that, you know, we're going to try to play it as best we can, if that means moving JV kids up, you know, and not just football, but in all sports. We're going to try to play the game. But basically what's going to happen is, if it's a situation where it's the whole team and you know, there's really no way that you can play, then it's going to go down as a no contest as far as, you know, the win and loss record. But you do have to still maintain district standing, so the team that forfeits will incur the loss at the district level, but it won't go down as a win or a loss as far as in the public and records like that. But, you know, that's something that we've never had to talk about before, you know, and so but that, there it is. You know, the UIL wants us to kind of rule it as a no contest, and then still, you know, within the district, it will go down as a loss if you have to forfeit due to COVID. But yeah, I don't think we're going to be unaffected. I think it's very, very good analogy what you said. We're kind of all trying to dodge those crocodiles, and we're doing everything we can within our power to do it. But you know, there's going to be a wildebeest get bit here and there, and that's just the situation that we're in.
You rolled right with the analogy. Look at you. Brad Baca, athletic coordinator, head football coach, Pittsburgh High School, and athletic coordinator throughout junior high and high school with the Pittsburgh Independent School District. I want to talk autonomy versus unanimity. So when you talk about autonomy, it's great you have that. And yet, what if you aren't on the same page within a district? Are there conflicts between a school and another school within the same district? It's one thing to say we don't really have to mirror what's going on in Dallas or in Houston or in San Antonio, or West Texas is different than East Texas. But within the same district, don't you have to be on the same page?
You really do. And, you know, we've met more this year as a district with superintendents and athletic directors than any other year. And, you know, one of those things, items to address was, you know, exactly that, a COVID forfeit. How do we address that? And we've got that figured out. The other thing was, are we going to allow our bands to come? You know, are we going to allow our bands to travel? And basically at this point, we kind of left that up to each individual district or school in the district. But we said that if the band is going to sit in the stands, that number would still have to come out of that capacity that is available. So what's happening is that a lot of districts are choosing to not bring their bands to away games. Another issue is travel. If you put 140 kids that are members of a band on buses, you know, and you travel them an hour and a half away, well, now you've just put all those kids, you know, in an exposed environment for a long time. And so if you have, God forbid, one of those kids on that bus tested positive for COVID, well, then you just lost a big chunk of your band. So we're trying to limit the travel, and we've all got together on that. We're trying to get ahead of a situation where we'd have a forfeit. We've already, you know, we've touched on that. And really, we've said, you know, each home team is going to be responsible for a live video stream of the game. And so that we will have that at our district in 8-4A. Each home team will be responsible for providing that live stream of the video. And, you know, that comes as standard pretty much with all these e-ticketing packages that we have had to go to. But, yes, it takes a lot of collaboration, and it's taking several meetings, and we're still working through things. And really this Friday night will be a test, you know, to see how good and how well-prepared were we, and then what do we need to fix going forward, what we need to change, what worked well, and then and how can we improve going forward.
What are your goals? And I bring that up because they might be different this year than in years past. In years past, it was, I hope our kids stay in school, stay eligible to play, and then on the field in whatever pursuit that they are endeavoring in, that they perform at their highest level. And I'd love for them to do well in the district and enjoy the postseason and hopefully maybe even work on to state. I mean, those are logical goals you would have going into each and every year. How has this year, though, changed your goal structure?
That is a great question, because they were different. When we got our kids back on, I believe it was June 8th, our summer strength conditioning goals were vastly different than they have been in normal years. Normally we've had a full 5-month off season, and we were just kind of hitting the ground running and continuing. When we got them June 8th, they really hadn't done anything since the first week of March. And that was, you know, we were thinking about it, that was the largest layoff for some of these kids since they started T-ball in their whole life.
Wow.
You know, they've really never had a 3-4 month break like they did this year. And we were right. When they came back, they had looked like they had been off for 3 months. And we had to be careful, and we had to not overdo it right at the very first. And the goal became not, you know, the ultimate goal was not, again, to improve, you know, strength specifically, speed in these areas. It was literally to get them in working shape to be able to compete and perform and complete a practice. And so as we and you know, went throughout the workout, it was just that. It was, how do we get them in the stadium safely? How do we follow the protocols? How do we get them moving, you know, in a way that is going to help them get back to the place where they can actually complete a real weight workout or a real running workout or a real practice, you know, and they were far from that. And so that became our summer strength conditioning goal, was just to follow the protocols. Let's be safe. Let's get these guys to where they can actually get back in shape, where they can complete a real workout, as opposed to we're trying to fine-tune this machine and really, you know, get up to this high-intensity work every single day. That was our normal goal, but we had to adjust that. And, you know, the kids adapted very well. Our coaches did a great job. And really, you know, contact all personnel, conditioning. We want to change the direction. You think about in the game of football how much you change direction. And then when these kids were at home, you know, they're not changing direction, so their ankles were really sore. And so we had to address that strength. Basic football skills. Our objective are have kids ready to play football August 3rd versus have them be the best shape, the most explosive athletes they can be. It's just, let's have them ready to play, you know, keep them safe. And so we did that. You know, we had coaches checking in and signing in kids with pre-screening COVID-19 symptoms questionnaires. And, you know, these coaches sent the athletes to the field, had them sit down, made sure they had their masks, made sure they were 6 feet apart, put them into specific groups, and then continued until the kids kind of got that, and then they did, and they did a great job with it. But, yes, absolutely, we COVID-19 adjusted our normal Pirate summer strength conditioning camp goals. And then now we are, you know, obviously we're about to play a game, so they've done a great job getting themselves back to where we're now in more of a normal goal. Let's get ready to go, be the most explosive we can be, and get ready to play Pirate football. So it's been a journey. It's been a process. We're glad we're here. We're glad we're still playing. We're glad we have the opportunity to play every single day, because we know some people don't.
Brad Baca, I am thrilled that you were part of This Is Your Community, a podcast brought to you by East Texas Broadcasting. I know it's a high-stress job. I mean, normally, in normal years, this year especially, is there any chance that the fee it costs, it can be considerable, for a therapist would be covered as a work expense?
You know what? It really has added some increased stress. And, you know, one thing that every coach has to have is a great coach's wife. And so I'm gonna throw my wife a bone. You know, you can't ever go wrong throwing your wife a bone.
Nice!
You know what I mean? So Kara Baca is... you know, she is the one that's holding us all together at the house. You know, when I'm, you know, and I've had a 20-hour day already this year, doing different things that are associated with COVID that I've never had to do before. And, you know, a 20-hour day, and then you go back, and then the next day you got to go, you know, another 16, and the next day you're, you know, doing a scrimmage and you're doing this, and it, you know, your job at the house, my duties at the house are none, really. And so she basically becomes a single mom for the duration of football season. And so she's my therapist. She's my, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, when I can't tell anybody else that, hey, man, I'm just tired, I'm gassed, I don't know how we're going to do it. She's the one that gets to hear that. And then she stays, she keeps me going. And she also helps me, you know, she's been a coach's wife for 15 years now. So I can actually, hey, what about this? You know, she knows the game. And so, hey, we lost this guy because he's got to do this. And what do you think about this? And how does this sound if I say this to the kids? You know, she's a really great buffer for me. And together we really, really, she has a big part in our program. So she keeps me going, and couldn't do it without her.
Oh, look at you. You can actually come in from the doghouse. So wife.
That's right.
Mom, therapist, assistant coach if need be. She does
right.
All. Wears a lot of hats. All right. That's good stuff. I appreciate you being part of the podcast. We're going to enjoy covering Pittsburgh Pirate Athletics throughout the school year. And God willing, it will go as unimpeded as possible during what is a strange start to what we hope, though, is a very successful year for Pirate Athletics and for Scholastics. And Coach Baca, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Kerry. I really appreciate it. Enjoy what you do, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
This podcast is a production of East Texas Broadcasting. Find more at easttexasradio.com.